Well, let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for this space, this time, and this people who you've gathered. As we reflect on your scriptures, your living word together now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, about almost 20 years ago now, this passage became one of my favorite passages as I was first learning about this thing called discipleship. And so today's message is called Discipleship 101 because it was so meaningful to me in those early stages, thinking about what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, to be one of his followers. I mean, I thought about being a Christian before, but I didn't know, like, so being a Christian means, like, I go to church. That's kind of how I thought of it. But what does it mean to really follow him with my life? And I was sitting with a woman who was in leadership on campus at my college, and she was teaching me about discipleship, and she opened up this passage and said, look at John the Baptist here. What does this teach us? And just, it opened my mind and my eyes to this understanding of what discipleship is that is sort of the foundation of everything. Because if you know how college courses work, I don't know how many of you went to college, it's whatever, but the 101 classes are the foundational classes, right? This is where you start. You start with 101, and then you take the 201 or the 202 or whatever, and 3 and the 4, and, you know, it goes up from there. You can go really high. Doctors, I'm sure, are taking, 801 classes? I don't know, but I'm not a doctor. but you need the foundation. The foundation is pivotal. You can't just jump. You're a fish out of water if you start taking a 501 or a 401 class when you haven't taken 1, 2, and 3. It's important to understand the basics. And in terms of the Christian faith, it's important to revisit these concepts because they always have something new to teach us. The good news is always good news, and following Jesus is always a good thing to be thinking about. So we're going to talk about the perspective, the action, the multiplication aspects of this passage. So beginning in verse 29, it's this remarkable beginning, as I was talking about before we sang this song. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I mean, let's talk about that for a little bit. This is John chapter 1. This isn't like John chapter 20 where Jesus has done all this ministry and work all around and everybody knows who he is. This is John coming to be, this is Jesus coming to be baptized. His ministry, his public ministry has not even begun, and John sees him coming and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's like telling the whole story. He's spoiling the ending for these people, right? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that's how the story's going to end, not how it begins, right? Well, that's pretty powerful in and of itself. But what John the Baptist is clear about right from the beginning of his ministry is that his ministry is not about John the Baptist, right? He's not even a Baptist. Baptist didn't exist back then. One person got it. I like it. John the Baptizer, he baptized people. So we call him John the Baptist. But his ministry is all about this other person who's coming after him. Everything about what John the Baptist does is preparing the way, pointing the way, showing people that the one who comes after me is before me because he's greater than me. And that's what he says. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And you're like, was he after you or was he before you? The timeline doesn't work here. John chapter 1, in case you haven't read it in a while. If you were here Christmas Eve, you heard it read. It begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John has just told us that at the very beginning, when all things were created, Jesus was there. He was with God because he was God. He was right there with God in the beginning. So he has been there. He is, in fact, chronologically before John, although his ministry is coming after John the Baptist, right? Because John the Baptist has already been in the Jordan. He's baptizing people. He's preparing, he's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This guy's coming after him, but let's just say Jesus' ministry began long before this moment. In the beginning was the Word. He came before me, and he has surpassed me. He comes after, but before, and he's better, right? He has surpassed me. He is greater than me, greater than I. I didn't know him, but the reason I came, the whole reason I'm doing this, the reason I came baptizing with water, right? We know Jesus. We know who John is because what? He baptized, right? That's his big thing. That's his claim to fame. The whole reason I did that was so that he, Jesus, the one who comes after me, might be revealed to Israel. He came. And then John says, again, pointing not at himself, but pointing at Jesus, he says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John the Baptist, right from the beginning of this passage. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is all about him. He came before me. He's the reason I came. The Spirit came upon him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is God's chosen one. This is God's Son. This is the one you need to be looking at. So, when we think about discipleship and following Jesus, it's a good thing to remind ourselves that it really is about following Jesus. It's not primarily a self-improvement course. That can be a good side benefit of growing as a person, growing in maturity. Ultimately, it is about following Jesus, just like it sounds. A disciple, one who follows, a follower. To be a follower of Jesus is rooted in Jesus himself. We have to keep Jesus at the forefront of our thoughts, at the forefront of our minds, because Jesus is the one that we follow. It's a perspective that we need. Now we'll get into the action. He's talking about Jesus, but now we're getting into the action of discipleship, okay? So the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. These are John the Baptist's disciples. Because John is a teacher, he has people who he's taken under his wing, and he's teaching. They're following him around. They're learning what he does. So these two followers are with John, and they are being discipled by him. And that familiar refrain, when Jesus passes by, what does he say? The same thing he said yesterday. Well, it doesn't say. Yeah, it is yesterday, the next day. So yesterday, same thing. Look, the Lamb of God. He's still just deflecting. This isn't about me. This is about that guy. Look, the Lamb of God. And this is just this beautiful, beautiful word. Because when the two disciples heard him say this, again, two people who have been spending every day with John the Baptist, learning his ways, learning everything that he can do, what do? They just, see you, dude. I'm out. I'm following this guy. Can you imagine? This could be a blow to the ego. If it weren't the whole reason John the Baptist lived his life. This is exactly what he wanted. He wanted them to turn their heels and follow this other guy. That was the whole point. When his two disciples heard him say, look, the Lamb of God, they followed Jesus. They're like, see you, dude. We're done with you. We're moving on to this guy. We hear he's better. Who did we hear that from? Oh, you. Thanks for letting us know. My goodness. So they do. They follow Jesus. They just do it. They pick up. They were following one guy. Now they're going to follow this different person. Again, they know very little about him. They know what John's told them. They know that when he was baptized, the Spirit came on him like a dove. And they believe that John believes him to be special. But again, this is before any miracles. This is before we've seen. They're just going to go follow him. See what it's like. See if he lives up to the hype. So, I just picture this scene. So, right, John is standing there with his two disciples. Let's say they're standing here. Here's John, here's the two disciples. And Jesus is back there, and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And they just stay there. "All right, see ya. We're going to go follow him." And Jesus is walking that way, and these two disciples are just following him. And they didn't really have motor vehicles back then, but have you ever been tailed by a vehicle? It's a little freaky, right? They're like, "Why is this person following? Why are they following me?" And Jesus is like looking over his shoulder like, "Are they? I haven't lost them yet. They're still, okay. Still there, huh?" What does Jesus say? He turns around and he says, who knows what the tone was, but the question is, "What do you want?" Now, was the tone, "What do you want?" Was it, "What do you want?" Or was it, "What do you want?" What? Oh, it was? Okay. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He's a nice guy. Not frustrated. Not skeptical like maybe I would be if I had people tailing me, trying to follow me around all day. "What do you want?" Now, it seems like a very natural first question. What do you want? What's the situation here? And so it could be a very simple question. It could be like, oh, we were just wondering how tall you are. You may not get that question every single day. When I go out in public. Some days I just don't, but what do you want? And their question, at first I thought, well, this is just kind of a silly question, or this is kind of a throwaway question. But they ask him, "Where are you staying?" Where are you staying? Now, this could be a really nosy question, right? Like, "Where do you live so I can just keep stalking you?" But where are you staying? Where are you spending your time? Where are you remaining? Where is the place that you go to be? Now, I think that John the Baptist has trained up his disciples well. Because, again, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God," they follow immediately, right? They know what the deal is. They know that this is the person that they are really being prepared to follow. And now they're like, "Where are you staying? Where can we go to be with you for an extended period of time?" Not just, "Hey, just a couple questions before you want to have coffee." No, where are you staying? Where can I go be with you, not just for an afternoon, but for an extended period of time? Because that's what they want. That's the desire of their heart. That is what has been formed in them by their former master, John the Baptist, who has been telling them nonstop that this guy who's coming after me, he is before me, he is the one, he is God's chosen one. And Jesus is not creeped out by this question, "Where are you staying?" He's not filing a police report saying, "These two guys have been tailing me and now they want to know where I live so that they can keep following me and stalking me," right? He says, "Come and you will see." What they don't know is that Jesus is homeless and he just is a vagabond going from place to place. Little do they know what they're signing up for. Thankfully, God's people are pretty hospitable all around the ancient Near East. "Where are you staying? Come and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent that day with him. This is the gift. This is the moment. This is what their lives have been building to. They were following John the Baptist. They were learning all of his teaching. His teachings were all about this other guy who's coming next. They get to see him. John points him out and they follow him and they get to spend the whole day with him. They spend the entire day with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They spend the entire day with God's chosen one, who the Holy Spirit has rested on in a unique way. How many people wish you were there? one of his original disciples, just getting to be there, spend time with him in the flesh. I'm not saying throw away what you have now. I'm just saying, wouldn't it have been cool to be a fly on the wall, right? Experience life with Jesus, hear his teachings firsthand right there. Beautiful. We spent that day with him. It seems pretty simple, but it's powerful. That discipleship is simply pointing people to Jesus and getting them to spend time following him and learning his ways. And that's all it is. That's where discipleship starts. That's discipleship 101. Go spend the day with Jesus. See what you find out. And we know that this is effective discipleship because right from the beginning it's working. So we find out that of these two disciples who followed immediately, one of them is Andrew. Hi. That wasn't me. It was my great, 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 no. But he was Simon Peter's brother. And he was one of them who had gone and followed Jesus and spent the day with him. And in verse 41 it says, the first thing Andrew did, the first thing that he did after spending the day with Jesus was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when we say somebody brought somebody to Jesus now, it's like a metaphor, right? Right? We help them come to know Jesus. But he literally took his brother and said, hey, come, I got somebody I want you to meet. Jesus, here he is. Jesus, Simon, Simon, Jesus. I hope you get to spend a lot of time together. And boy, do they. It's the first thing Andrew does. His first instinct. See, I feel like John the Baptist was a great discipler because his disciples did not want to cling to him. They just wanted to follow because they listened well. They knew that the one that they really needed to follow was Jesus. And even after they find Jesus, they're not, oh, I found this. I found the secret sauce. I'm going to keep it all to myself. No. The very, 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 very first thing that Andrew wants to do is to share it. Now, maybe he's hoping that Jesus will transform his brother from a blabbermouth who can't stop sticking his foot in his mouth all the time, hothead. Maybe that's what he's hoping for. Turns out he just becomes those things for Jesus. A hothead, blabbermouth who can't stop sticking his foot in his mouth, right? But for whatever reason, the very first thing Andrew did was share Jesus. We have found the Messiah. He was convinced after one day. John told him it was so, so he went and spent the day with him, and after that day, he was convinced too. Yes, there's something different about this guy. Jesus said about John the Baptist that there was no greater man born of a woman. Jesus had elevated high things to say about John the Baptist. So their former mentor was no slouch. They knew what it was to be under good teaching. But after one day with Jesus, they were like, yeah, okay, this is even better. This is the Messiah, the chosen one. This is the one I want to follow. He brought him to Jesus. He brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Little did he know that his brother would one day struggle to walk on water. Wow. So, just a few final reflections, and I hope this kind of is a good reminder for us heading into a new year, 2020. Our own discipleship perspective is that when we are trying to make disciples, right, the Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Exert our influence for Jesus' sake. Invest in people, in the world around us, in the people around us, and try to teach them, show them Jesus. This could be, if you have a family, this could be your kids, this could be your grandkids, this could be your neighbors, this could be your spouse, this could be your partner, this could be your friends, this could be anybody in your life. But we're called to make disciples, right? So, the first thing to know is that discipleship is about making many Jesus, not many me. Everybody's faith journey is a little different. And I've mentored and discipled a lot of people over the years, and you know what? None of them look like me. And I don't mean just like they didn't get taller. But they have different gifts, different experiences, different things to offer, the different journey. And so they follow Jesus, and I follow Jesus, and those paths converge sometimes, but sometimes they look vastly different. And you know what? It's because Jesus leads us differently, because we're all different. And it's all about looking more like Jesus, not about looking more like me. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Follow that guy. In terms of action, all the discipleship action for these two disciples was about going and following and spending time with Jesus, right? So for us, our discipleship 101 lesson for today is our action as disciples begins and starts with connection to and companionship with Jesus. Connection to and companionship with Jesus. Scripture says, I am a friend of God. Might even sound a little cheesy to call God your friend. But we are friends with God, companions with Jesus. How do we connect to him and spend time with him? You think of all the metaphors of what it is to follow Jesus and to be part of the church and the faith. It's all this unitive, connected metaphors, right? A building that grows up into Christ. A body, which Christ is the head and we are all part. It's all about connection to Jesus and companionship with Jesus. That's the action of discipleship. And if discipleship is about connection to and companionship with Jesus, then multiplication is about growing that relational network. That kind of sounds like businessy language, growing a relational network. Sorry, not all business people are nerds. I just, sometimes I can't help myself. I'm a nerd. Okay. Just to be clear, growing a relational network, inviting more people to the party, inviting more people into this way of life of following Jesus. That may sound really intimidating, and when we frame evangelism as like, go out there and share your faith, it can be a little like, but what part of my faith and what, who am I sharing it with? But if you think about growing your relational network, of which Jesus is central, right? If Jesus is central to who you are and Jesus is central to your life and you are out there in the world growing in relationship with people, growing deeper in relationship with the people you already know, and also growing to know people who you didn't know before, and Jesus is at the center of that, guess what? That's discipleship multiplication. That is what we're called to do. And the final point for today is to remember that this is discipleship 101. We know that following Jesus and spending the day with him is a little more complicated than just going over to his house and hanging out. It wasn't like Andrew and whoever the other disciple was, that probably John, who got to spend that day with Jesus. It's not like you just sit across a table from him and ask him questions and hear what he has to say. There's reading the scripture, and scripture can be confusing. There's being part of the church. Sometimes people in church hurt us. Sometimes they absolutely heal us and save our lives. There's a lot of complications, and we live in a world where, well, it's, let's say it's different than the world that Jesus lived in. Let's just say that when Jesus and Andrew and the other disciples sat around and spent the afternoon, there were no cell phones going off. There were no Facebook alerts or notifications or no Instagram likes happening in the background, right? It was a little different world. And the people who in that room were not aware of the people halfway across the world. There was maybe a whole nation of people that just, there's just people all over the world. They just didn't know each other. There was no connection. And and yet they were probably more connected to the people in their own neighborhoods. So what does discipleship in 2020 look like? That's the question. That's where we go beyond 101 to figuring it out, and sometime this spring we'll explore how we build on that foundation. What does it look like to spend time with Jesus now? What does it look like to spend a day with Jesus now? What does it look like to point others to Jesus now? What is it like to say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and invites somebody into that journey, into that narrative? What is it like to grow our relational network with Jesus here and now? The world is more complicated. Discipleship is more complicated. And yet, don't lose sight of how simple it is at its core and at its base. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Follow him. Follow him. Spend the day with him. Maybe that's today for you. Maybe that's tomorrow, your day off, whatever. Spend the day with Jesus. Start there, and we'll see what we can build on. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one that we come to in our times of need, the one that we come to for guidance, the one that we come to for healing. Thank you for being our companion on life's journey, for inviting us into your family, for guiding us and for leading us. May we celebrate that, and may we continue to follow faithfully today and through eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.